I want you to take your Bibles and join me in the book of Numbers tonight, chapter 13, the 13th chapter of the book of Numbers. Just kind of taking a break away today from John, and as much as I personally have enjoyed going through John, sometimes it is good to get a little break away and do something a little different, change things up. And so, I hope that going through the Gospel of John's helping you, being a blessing to you. I hope the Lord's using it in your life, and maybe you're learning some things. I know I am, and it's been a blessing to me. And like I said, it's good to get away and cut away and look at some different things from time to time, just mind the Lord, things He puts on our heart. And I want to give you a thought tonight. Lord's put on my heart that is maybe a simple thought, kind of like this morning, but it will be a blessing, be a help to us out of a pretty familiar passage tonight. Numbers chapter 13, and I'm not asking you to stand, just want to read a few verses and give you what the Lord's laid on my heart tonight. It says in verse number 26, Numbers chapter 13 and verse number 26, "And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are all well able to overcome it." And I want to preach to you for a few minutes tonight with the Lord's help on this thought, the value of faith. The value of faith. Let's pray. Father, come before your throne of grace tonight. Lord, we thank you for letting us be together again in your house. Thank you, Lord, for your people assembling themselves once again, and Lord, coming and hearing the Word of God, singing praises unto Thee, praying together, fellowshipping one with another, Lord, worshiping You with tithes and offerings, and Lord, just all the things that your people have done, Lord, all down through the years. And we thank you that we're able to partake, Lord, in assembling ourselves together on the Lord's Day. And Lord, thank you that we are in a country that is free. And Lord, we know there are people all over the world tonight, Father, that are facing difficulties and hard times, or we know your people, Lord, are in countries and in places, Lord, where wars are going on, and Lord, there's much uncertainty, and Lord, they're persecuted by their governments and things like that, and Lord, we don't face all those things tonight here, and so we thank you and we praise you for that, and we pray for your people, and Lord, we pray for peace in Israel. God, we pray for your people that you would bless them and help them tonight, and Lord, I pray that you would bless our church and help us tonight, God, that we would hear from heaven, speak in and through us. Lord, I pray that you'd give that special touch that makes preaching take these simple thoughts and drive them deep into our hearts. I pray, use them for your honor and glory. And Father, I pray that your will be done, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We probably all know the story and know what's going on here. Moses has sent 12 men to spy out the land of Canaan, and they've arrived there right at the edge of the promised land, and to send these men out to see just kind of what's over there, what lays before them. And they were then to report, to come back and report to the Israelites who were encamped there in the wilderness. 10 of the 12 came back. And their report was that the land is just too difficult to conquer. If you read, we read right down through there, and you notice that everything that they saw was walls and armies and giants and problems and difficulties and all these things. And so 10 of them, that's all they saw. But then there were two of them, one man by the name of Joshua, who would later become one of the greatest leaders in Israel's history, and a man by the name of Caleb. Those those two of the 12 gave a very different report, and they saw something very different. While you've got 10 over here that see walls and fenced cities and giants and problems and armies and dangers and perils, you've got these two men full of faith, believing God, and they're not seeing what the first 10 are seeing. They're not seeing the size of the people and the size of the city. They're seeing the size of the grapes. They're seeing the milk. They're seeing the honey. And they say, man, it's everything God told us it was and more. I mean, it's a land flowing with milk and honey, and the grapes are bigger than a basketball. And I mean, God has just blessed the land. And he said, Caleb says, let's go up and possess it. Let's go get it. It's ours. It's theirs. It's ours for the taking. Let's go and get it. So you got 12 spies, 10 give a negative report. Two of them full of faith give a positive report. They believed God that Israel would conquer the land. And by the way, God would conquer the land. He told them He would. He said that He would. He said, it is your land. Reminds me of the disciples whenever He said, let us go over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. You know, and they encountered that storm, you know. And suddenly, because there's a storm on the way, they think, we're not going to make it. When Jesus has already said, let's go to the other side. When God says we're going to the other side, I don't care how big the storm is, you get to the other side. Amen. When Jesus is aboard, isn't that right? And the same is true here. He said, it is your land. I will give you the land. It is yours. And I've promised it to you. And so they believed God that Israel could conquer the land because God told them they could. The other 10 men did not believe God. They saw problems. They saw perils. They saw issues. And this is what it all comes down to, by the way. You've got 2 that believe God and 10 that don't believe God. And it all comes down to that. Listen, the giants don't matter. And the big walls don't matter. Even the grapes don't matter. What matters is what God said. And you've got 10 that don't believe God and 2 that do believe God. And that is the biggest difference. The 10 are looking at what they are capable of. They're examining themselves and their nation and their army in light of the armies and the cities they're seeing over there. They're examining their capabilities based on that. Whereas you got 2 examining God's capabilities based on the armies and the giants, and it's very different. It looks very different when you see what God can do versus what I can do. It's like that young man that was serving Elisha, and that they were the enemies of God had come against them. And you know, he's about to lose his mind. I mean, he's serving. One preacher preached on serving but not seeing. He's serving the man of God, and he's seeing the enemies of God and the enemies of the man of God coming against him, you know. And he's afraid. He comes in and tells the man of God, you know, boy, it's all but over for us, you know. And then the man of God prays that God would open his eyes and let him to see what God can do. All he can see is what I can do, what we can do, where we are, the situation we're in. But he prays and says, God, open his eyes and show him what you can do, where you are. And the man walks out and looks on that hillside, and he sees that army of God that he never saw before. And suddenly he realized that there's more of us than there are of them. Amen. And that's true in Israel's situation here. God is always the majority. And no matter how big or how small their army is, they have got God on their side. And they have God's promise, but they're only seeing the problems and they're not believing God. And so this is what it all comes down to. It all comes down to believing God or not believing God. In our verse here, it's a great statement of faith by Caleb in verse number 30. A great statement of faith. It says, Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. 10 of them are saying, man, the walls are so big. And the sons of Anak are there. You know, those are giants, right? That's who the descendants of Anak are. Those are giants. And boy, there's these cities. And we got these people in the mountains and these people on the coast and these people in the cities. And boy, it's just so big. But Caleb, full of faith, he says, let's go over right now. Let's go get it right now because we are well able. Not barely able. We're well able to get it. Amen? And what this verse here and what this statement by Caleb tells us is it tells us 4 important things that faith does in our life. It reveals to us the real value of faith.
How important faith is. In fact, nothing in this world is more valuable than faith. If you could possess one thing in life and have nothing else, you better sell all and purchase faith. You better give it all away and get faith, because nothing is more valuable in your life than faith. And we see it right here for four reasons. First of all, what makes faith so valuable in our life? First of all, faith brings peace in our life. No amount of money in the world, no amount of possessions, no amount of great circumstances, nothing in this world can purchase peace in your life. But faith can. Faith brings peace. People all over this world tonight are searching the world high and low. They're searching in relationships. They're searching in the bottle. They're searching in drugs. They're searching in prescription medication. They're searching with doctors. They're searching with psychiatrists. Listen, they're searching in education. They're searching in money. They're searching in fame. They're searching in popularity. They're searching in a good family. They're searching in all the places to try to find peace, and they cannot find it, because faith is the only thing valuable enough to purchase peace in your life. Our verse here begins by saying, Caleb stilled the people. He stilled them. Now, why did they need stilling? Well, they needed stilling because they were upset due to the report of the first 10 spies. Those 10 spies come out there. I mean, here they are. They've followed God, followed Moses, the man of God, really out of Egypt, you know. And they've traveled. And here they are right on the brink of going into the promised land. And they know all these promises that God has made through Moses. And they've followed the man of God and followed. And here they are. And they're just about to go in. And suddenly these spies come back. And they're telling them the direct opposite of what they've been hearing all along. And if you can imagine, just place yourself in their position. I know we can be real hard on the Israelites because, you know, they do good for a little while, then they fall back against God, then they have faith good for a while, then they fall back, you know, and they're kind of back and forth. But listen, just put yourself in their position. I mean, they are far from home. And I know Egypt certainly is not an ideal home, but human nature, craves, normalcy in life, right? And you can get used to anything. And Egypt was far from ideal, was it? But it was still home to them. In fact, this generation is the only home they ever knew. Many of them, they never knew much of anything else. Many of them had been born and raised in Egypt, and it was just life to them. And it didn't maybe have the comforts of somebody else's life, but it was still just their life. And you know, we tend to gravitate towards and are drawn towards the things that we're comfortable in. We call it our comfort zone, right? And if you can imagine, these people, these human beings, we view them, I think, often as just a nation as a whole. But this nation is made up of individuals, as families, as men and women and boys and girls, as husbands and wives and children and parents. I mean, people are just trying to live their life and do right for God as best they know how. And sometimes they do all right and sometimes they don't. Sounds a lot like us, doesn't it? You know? And here they are, far from the only home many of them have ever known. And they're out in the wilderness and they are way outside their comfort zone. And it's easy for us to look at them and say, boy, God's blessed them. They just ought to just believe God. But let me ask you, what would you be doing in their situation? Our faith isn't near as strong as we give it credit for sometimes. Many times we're just like Israel. Here they are, far from home, outside their comfort zone, out in the wilderness. I mean, they've taken a big leap of faith following God. And I mean, here they are, and yet they send in the 12 spies, and them out of the 12, 10 of them come back and they say, listen, there's no way. There's no way. I know we've come a long ways. And I know there's nowhere to go from here. I don't know what to tell you, but I'm just telling you, the walls are high. And the armies, they're bad news. And there's giants over there, man. I just don't. As a matter of fact, at one point they said, we're like grasshoppers in their sights. You know, this is terrible. And if you can imagine, those 10 spies are giving that report. And it's an uproar among the people. I mean, they're disturbed. And they're thinking about where they are. They're looking around. We're in the wilderness. We're not going to survive out here. We can't make it out here. We can't go over. And we can't go back. And I mean, what are we going to do? If you're a parent and you're looking at your children, you're thinking, what in the world am I going to do to take care of these kids out here in this wilderness? What in the world? I know it's easy for us to say, well, God will take care of them. God will take care of them. But listen, you put yourself in that position. Amen? And we know God would take care. We know God will take care of us, but we don't act like it a bunch of times. We get kind of in an uproar sometimes, don't we? We get kind of fired up sometimes when the 10 spies come back and they say, boy, there's no moving forward from here. And that's what happened. They got in an uproar. And I mean, you can imagine just the talking and the way it goes when a crowd gets bad news. You know, there's kind of an uproar, you know. And so the Bible says among all of that, Caleb sets forth and he steals the people. He says, whoa. Hold on just a second. Because Caleb's there, and he's heard what the 10 has said, and he's hearing the PC meal, but he has seen that land for himself. And he's seen just what those men have seen, but at the same time, he's seen something very different. Right? And he says, hold on just a second. Before you lose your mind, hold on just a second. And he steals that crowd down. And I can imagine that crowd gets very calm and they begin to listen very carefully to Caleb. He steals the people. See, that stillness that he puts over that crowd was already in his heart. It was already in his soul. He wasn't a bit fired up. He wasn't a bit worried the whole time. Amen? Why? Because he had faith. Because he believed God. And faith brings peace. Caleb gave the report and it calmed their soul. And that calm was already in his soul. Amen. And when they're in uproar, he says, now listen, I know what these guys are saying, but listen, this is a good land and it's full of milk and honey. And don't forget God's promises. And we ought to go right now. We ought not even hesitate. We ought to go right now and get it. And that faith that had filled his heart began to fill the people's hearts. And it stilled them. Faith always does that. Faith steals the troubled heart. It brings peace in the troubled soul. And the greatest peace is always with God through Jesus. Amen. I tell you, nothing will help steal your soul than getting alone somewhere with God whenever you're in a time of turmoil. And finding you a prayer closet somewhere and talking to God. And listen, rolling them burdens on Him and reminding Him of where you are and reminding yourself of the promises that He's made. And let the Holy Spirit work in your heart. And I'm telling you, faith will calm the troubled soul every time. Amen. Faith brings peace. And there's nothing in the world valuable enough to bring peace like faith. Number two, the value of faith. It's so valuable, faith produces passion. Not only does it bring peace in our life, but it produces passion. Caleb said, let us go up at once and possess the land. Let's not hesitate. At once, that phrase there, at once, you know what that speaks of to me? It speaks of zeal to me. He says, let's go right now. I don't even know why we're standing here talking about this. Let's go right now and do it. We ought to just go do it now. Why wait till tomorrow? Why wait till the next day? Let's do it right now. It speaks of zeal and of passion to do the bidding of God and do what God wants them to do right now. And that's what faith does in your life. Listen, faith causes you to not worry about what everybody else is thinking and not care how stupid you may look in the world's eyes or how foolish you may look in your peers' eyes. When you're full of faith, you want to do what God wants you to do and you want to do it right now. And it does not matter what the world thinks. Doesn't matter what everybody else thinks. Caleb didn't want to procrastinate. He didn't want to wait till tomorrow. He didn't want to wait till next week. He wanted to be prompt in possessing this land because when they saw walls and cities, he saw blessings. He said, listen, I've been there. I want it now. That's good. That's the way I am with our mountain out there. I want it right now. I've been up there and I don't want to come back down. I want to go up there right now. Amen. Amen. That's the way the blessings of God are in our life. You've ever been on the mountain with God, spiritually speaking? Listen, if you've ever been there, you want that mountain. Amen. Faith stirs the heart to get moving for God. And unbelief does the exact opposite. Every time unbelief kills any zeal that we have for the Lord. Many times I've thought about my life and I've thought about back when I first got saved. And when you first get saved, you're so green and you know so little. Oh, but you got zeal though. Amen. And I mean, you're fired up. And I mean, you're just proud to be here and you want to do anything for God and you'll do anything God asks you to do. I mean, you're just dumb enough to do anything God tells you to do. And then a little time goes by and you get a little wisdom, you get a little knowledge under your belt and you lose your zeal. And people spend the rest of their Christian lives trying to get their zeal back. Isn't that right? And you know the greatest problem with that? The greatest issue there is unbelief. When we first get saved, we think God can do anything. Because as far as we can, He can't. He just saved me. Being saved me, He can do anything. Right? We're like, Paul, I'm the chief of sinners. Ain't nobody worse than me. And so if He can save me, He can save anybody, He can do anything. And by the way, that's why you're so anxious to tell people. And that's why you're okay with spreading the gospel and talking to your friends. Because as far as you're concerned, He saved you, He just saved you, so He can save them too. Right? And then little by little along the way, you get a little worldly wisdom, get a little spiritual wisdom, get a little knowledge, and you see some things, and that fire just kind of goes out. And you tell enough people, and you witness to enough people don't want it, and you start to thinking, you start to lose your zeal. You start to not believe like you used to that God can save anybody. You start to wonder if God can save anybody. I mean, if we'd be honest, we would never say that, but I mean, if we'd be honest, that's the way we live. Right, and it's like we evaluate people too. You know, some people are either too bad to ever get saved and want the gospel, and some people are either too good to ever get saved and want the gospel. Right? It's like you gotta have that person who's right there in the middle. You know, well, the truth is, anyone can get saved. He can save anybody, but we stop believing that. We see Him meet needs and we see Him bring things together that we didn't think could be brought together. And boy, we're so full of belief and zeal and all those things. But then a little time goes by and that fire kind of burns out and we start struggling believing. We think, well, I know He met my need last time, but I don't know if He's going to get me through this time. Again, we're not so different from Israel in that. They did the same thing. I mean, they saw Him. They've already seen Him part the Red Sea just not too long ago. Right? I mean, what's a bigger miracle in the Old Testament than parting the Red Sea, right? And yet here they are, and suddenly they think He can't do this. We just saw Him do that, but He ain't going to do this. Right? But see, when you're full of faith, faith builds a passion in you. Faith builds a zeal in you. And those of the Israelites who lacked faith, they didn't want to move forward. They didn't want to go into the land, but the two men full of faith, they did. They wanted to go right now. Right now. Faith is valuable because it brings peace. And faith's valuable because it produces passion. But then number three, faith is so valuable because it provides possessions for us. If the Israelites here, this nation, had acted by faith, Caleb said they would possess the land. That's what he said, right? Let us go up right now. Let us go and possess it. And so the man full of faith, that's what he wants to do. Let's go possess it. And if the whole nation would have acted in faith, they would have. They'd have possessed it right then. And by the way, what a land it was. It was everything God promised it would be. I mean, it blew their mind. They brought back a cluster of grapes so big it took two men to carry it. Look back in verse 23. They came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. One cluster now. One cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff and brought it of the pomegranates and of the figs. One cluster took two men carrying that thing on a staff to get it back. And that's what Caleb saw. That's what Joshua saw. That's what faith saw. Faith saw blessings, promises. Boy, what a land it was. And so faith gives good possessions. They could have been living in the land that grew them grapes. In fact, faith doesn't just give possessions. Faith gives you the best possessions. Faith will provide in your life well, the possessions that money in this world can never give you. Right? However, the sad truth in this situation is that unbelief prevailed. If it acted in faith, it had the land right then. God would have got them the land, but unbelief prevailed, and they wound up living in the wilderness for 40 years rather than over there in the promised land. That entire generation right here, could have believed God and lived out their life in the promised land, and yet that whole generation right there had to die in the wilderness with nothing. I know God took care of their needs. I know God fed them with manna. I know God, but listen, they died wearing the same shoes 40 years later that they started out with right here. I just think that if they had gone over in the promised land, they'd have got new shoes. Amen. Now, it's a miracle and it's a blessing that God kept their shoes going and God kept them fed. And God, but listen, they had to die wearing the same shoes. That was the only possession, the only shoes they had, and God had to keep them going just so they'd die in them. Yet if they'd have acted in faith, they'd have probably had all the shoes they wanted in the promised land. Ain't that right? I mean, I can't prove that with a verse, but I just think that. Don't you? They got all them grapes, and they got all that prosperity and all that over there, and yet they wind up walking around the wilderness for 40 years with just what they had, you know, when they could have been in the promised land the whole time. Amen. Faith will possess heaven. Unbelief will lose everything in hell. Faith will possess a life of good works and a life of blessings. Unbelief will lose it all. Amen. Faith provides possessions. Last of all, let me give you this. Why is faith so valuable? It brings peace into our life. Faith produces passion in our life. Faith provides possessions in our life. But last of all, faith gives power in our life. Caleb said that they were well able, is the words that he used. Well able to possess the land, he said. Well able is the strength that comes by faith that makes us a conqueror rather than making one that is conquered. He knew they were well able because they knew their God. He knew they were not well able in and of themselves. As a matter of fact, there's nothing we can do in and of ourselves. Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. And what the other 10 spies and what the rest of the nation were looking at is what we can do, what we are capable of. And they'd forgotten what God said and what God can do, what God is capable of. You know, whenever you view your life and view your ministry and the place God's put you and all that, if you view it all in light of what you are capable of, you'll never do anything for God. You'll never step out. Listen, you'll never move forward. Listen, you'll never quote-unquote take risks, right? From the world's perspective, from the natural perspective, sometimes taking a step of faith is very risky. But it's not whenever you know what God said. It's not whenever you're doing what God tells you to do. It's like Stonewall Jackson. I've read this quote to you many times, and I'll not quote it verbatim, but he said later in life after he got saved, he talked about how he was as safe in battle as he was in his at home in bed because of his faith. And he believed that. He believed that being in battle, listen, God's in control of my life and God's got my days numbered and God knows where I'm at. And if God tells me to do this, then by His grace, I will do it. I will get it done. But listen, you don't think that when you're not believing, right? Faith taps the power of God and it walks in the strength of God. Unbelief makes us weak and unable to do much of anything for God. And you certainly will not do much of anything for God if you don't have faith. You know what we need more than anything in the world is to increase our faith. You know, that's why we preach and teach the Bible. That's why we read the Bible. That's why we pray. But that's why we also step out on faith. That's why we put these things into shoe leather. And by the way, that's why God tests our faith. To increase it. Because what we need more than anything is to increase our faith. Because there's nothing more valuable in the world than faith. It'll bring peace. It'll produce passion in your life. It'll provide possessions in your life. It'll give you power. Listen, whenever we are dead spiritually, you know what our problem is? Faith. Same place the disciples were all the time. Whenever the Lord said, "Oh, ye of little faith," that's exactly what He told them when they were out on Galilee when that storm was coming, and they thought they were going down, they were going to die, and they said, "Lord, why don't you even care about us? Why are you so fearful, oh ye of little faith?" He said, the value of faith. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your Word, and thank You, Lord, for helping us, Lord, and preaching it. And Lord, I pray that You would help us to take this truth and this reality, Lord, and sink it deep into all of our hearts, God, that in the days ahead, Lord, we move forward in faith. Lord, everything we do must be of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please You. And so, Lord, I thank You for the faith that You've given me. Lord, I thank You for the faith You've blessed Your people with here. And Lord, I pray that You would increase our faith. Help us, God, to be what You want us to be. And Lord, I pray for, Lord, that one here that You may have spoke to their heart, dealt with their heart tonight. Lord, I pray that, Lord, they do business with You, Lord, that You might increase their faith. Lord, help us and bless us, and we thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.